Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara begins Gufa. Gemara wants to investigate further this statement of Rav Chista with regards to the position of Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Gufa, Amar Rav Chista, Molde Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Rav Nechunya ben Akana, who's of the position that a Chayuv Karet can absolve someone of having to make compensation or payments. But in a case, Begonev, Chobo Shel Chaviro, he steals the Chaylev, the fats that are Asurim, from his friend. Vachalo, and then afterwards eats them, shu chayav, that there he will be obligated to compensate his friend for the loss. Shekvar nitchayev v'gneva, kodem sheavod lidei yisur chaylev, because he already became obligated for the stealing of the object before he consumed it. The gneva takes place prior to his eating of the chaylev. Therefore, by the time he gets to the yisur chaylev of eating the chaylev, he's already obligated in the compensation. And therefore, he will be chayav to compensate him for the chaylev, even though he will be chayav karet for consuming that chaylev. Lema pliga de Rabbi Avin. Let us say that this position of Rav Chista argues on Rabbi Avin. De Amar Rabbi Avin. Hazarek chaytz. A person who shoots an arrow. Mitchilat arba, l'sof arba. From the beginning of four amot to the end of four amot. Bikarash yirayin b'chalichato. And it rips clothing or some sort of silk on the way, patur. So over there, you are carrying bishuta rabim dalet amot, which is restricted on Shabbat. It's part of the melacha of hotza'ah on Shabbat. Person who carries something for amot in the reshuta rabim. Over here, by shooting the arrow for amot in reshuta rabim, you're in the violation of hotza'ah. While the arrow is traversing that space of arba amot, it also rips something or causes damage to something. So over there, you would have to compensate for the damage, but you're chayav because of the violation of Shabbat. And over there, Rabbi Avin says you are patur from compensating because of the fact that you are chayav for hotza'ah on Shabbat. And he says, why? Shiakira tzorech hanachahi. Because the melacha of hotza'ah is comprised of two components. In essence, it's a process. Just like the melacha of cooking on Shabbat is a process, so too, hotza'ah, the carrying of an object, is a process that involves two discrete parts. One is the akira, the lifting of the object from the place where it is, and hanacha is the placement of the object down in the destination. So, if you move, for instance, from reshut harabim to reshut hayachid, or reshut hayachid to reshut harabim, you need an akira. You need to take the object from that location that it is in now, and then move it to the other location. You need an akira, which in the true sense means an uprooting, and an akha means bringing it to rest in the other location. And the same is true with arba amot birshut arabim. So Rabbi Avin explains here that since the akira is the tzorech hanacha, therefore the individual is patur. So let us say the same thing over here. Hachanami hagba'a tzorech achilahi. Here, the lifting of the object, which makes the individual chayav in gneva, because as soon as you pick it up, you make a kinyan on the object. That's what makes you chayav when you're stealing the chaylev. But that hagba'ah is also a necessity in terms of achila. In order to eat it, you have to bring it to your mouth. Gemara says, hachi hashto. How can you compare the two cases? What the Gemara is suggesting at this point in time is that the process which brings the person to the violation of Shabbat is also the same motion or action that causes the other damages or compensation or necessity for compensation. By the case of shooting the arrow, the shooting of the arrow itself, when it leaves your hand, that akira, that leaving your hands, is the beginning of the melacha of hotza'ah on Shabbat. At that moment also, as Rashi states it over here, by the time of the akira, that moment, the arrow is destined to do the damage to the object that it's going to shoot through. So at the same moment, or simultaneously, basically, you are violating the Isser of Shabbat, and you're also causing damage which you would have to compensate for. And then that's subject to Kamli Derabbi Minei, and you wouldn't have to make the compensation because of the violation of Shabbat. Let us say the same thing by Chaylev. In order to eat the Chaylev, one has to lift it up and put it in their mouth. So yes, the problem is the actual swallowing or the eating of the chaylev, but the lifting of it is the beginning of the process of eating. And since it is the beginning of the process of eating, then the violation of gneva takes place when you lift it up. But so does that begin the violation of iser of eating chaylev. and therefore it should be deemed to be simultaneous. And if that's the case, you should also be patur from compensating for the gneva over there, because it should be kamle derabi mine. The Gemara says you can't compare these cases. By definition, the definition of the melacha of hotza'ah and Shabbat is akiran hanacha. These two components, you have to lift it up and then you have to place it down. Therefore, there is no such thing as hanacha unless you do an akira. But on the other hand, when it comes to achila, efshal achila below hagba, you can eat without lifting the object up. Diboy gachin va'achil. If you want, you can bend down and eat the object. You don't have to lift the object up for you to eat it. You can simply lower yourself down to the object itself. Rashi says, lamata migimul tfachim, that if you bend down under three tfachim, vachil, and eat it, ubatsi migimul lav hagbahi, and under three tfachim is not considered to be hagbah, it's not considered to be a kinyan for the gneva. Now Rashi here is the shita to. Rashi believes that the kinyan hagbah involves the lifting of three tfachim. The Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi and shows that many places in Shas we do find that Agba'ah is only a tefach. You just simply have to lift it up a small amount. And therefore, the Gimel Tfachim is not relevant by the case of Agba'ah in terms of Gneva. And therefore, according to Tosafot, you would have to be Gachin Vachil, meaning below one tefach, in order not to be in violation of Agba'ah. The Meiri defends Rashi's position against Tosafot, who says that it should be a tefach for Agba'ah and not Shlosha Tfachim by bifurcating the din and saying anything that is doraita for kinyan requires three tefachim, and anything that's dirabanan only requires a tefach. But then Tosafot asks a more fundamental question here, which is, why do you need hagbah at all? Once the object goes into your mouth, you are kona it because it's in your mouth. So it doesn't matter that you are gachin vachil, simply by going into your mouth, that would be enough to make a kinyan over here. So therefore, Tosafot suggests in the end, and I think many of the Rishonim follow this position, and many of the Rishonim follow this position of Tosafot, which is that the food is actually found on a steak, and the individual is able to open their mouth and have the food reach the back of their mouth without ever actually placing it into their mouth, so there will be no kinyan hagba over here. The point of the Gemara is, even though that's a crazy case, or an unusual case, the only point of the Gemara is to show that there is a possibility of eating, consuming without hagba'ah. That is not true by akira and anacha. Akira and anacha are a process that creates the malacha, and if you're missing one of them, you don't have the malacha. That's the first Mishnah in Shabbat, which says that if you are a participant in the exchange of an object, if you do the akira and another person does the anacha, that's not called the malacha of hotza'ah. Hotza'ah involves both aspects of akira and anacha. And there is no anacha without an akira. The two are codependent. It's impossible to have one without the other in order to frame the melacha on Shabbat. That is just not true by achila. You do not have to do hagba'ah in order to eat, because we have manifestations of eating without hagba'ah. And therefore you can't make the statement that hagba'ah is tzorech achila. And you cannot compare these two cases. Inami. Another possibility is hatami baila dura. In the case of the shooting of the arrow, it's an irreversible action. Once the arrow is in motion, you can't stop it. It's on flight to do whatever it's supposed to do. Over here, that is not the case, because here he can spit it back out. He doesn't have to actually swallow the object. So again, over there, the akira and anacha are connected, because once the akira is done, the chetz, the arrow in motion, is doing all the damage it's going to do, and will end up doing the hanacha. It's an action that will not be stopped. Now, the way that you normally would frame this is that, by definition, along its motion, or along its track, it's going to cut through the shirayim, it's going to do the damage. Therefore, when it leaves your hand, it is en route to do the damage, and it cannot be reversed. But if you look in Rashi, and I mentioned this before, Rashi says, Hilkach mishat akira, sofo likra lo shirayim. Therefore, from the moment the akira happens, it will cut through the shirayim, it will do that damage. And that means that from the moment of the akira, the damage is considered to be as if done. It's very similar to in the Gemara in Baba Kama, when we have Isho Mishum Chitzav, that Eish is considered to be like an arrow of the individual. When one lights a fire, and then it spreads and it's going to do damage, that fire, from the moment that you light it, is considered as if you shot arrows out. And that damage that you do, you're responsible for the lighting of the fire originally, because you set in motion a process that will cause damage, and therefore the original lighting of the fire you are culpable for. And so it's over here, the shooting of the arrow you're culpable for, because from the moment it leaves your hand, it's en route to do this damage, and it's as if you did the damage from the beginning moment. But that is not true by the Hagba'ah and the eating. Over there you can lift it, put it in your mouth, and then spit it out. So you could accomplish the Hagba'ah, but that's not by definition going to force you to do the Akhilah. It is a reversible action. So here we have two answers to differentiate between the case of Rav Chisda and the case of Rabbi Avin. Either the difference is that Hagba'ah is not integrally connected to Akhilah the way that Akira is connected to Hanakha, or the second answer is that the Akira by the Chaitz is an irreversible action, whereas the case of Hagba'ah by the Akhilah is not an irreversible action. It's not certain just because you're Magbiah it that you're going to eat it, whereas the shooting of the arrow will cause the damage from the moment that it leaves your hand. Mar says, Ma'ika ben Hailushna the Hailushna. What is the nafkamina between these two different lishonot? Ike ben Ayu, Hamavir Sakin b'shut Rabim, Bikarash Shiraim b'halichato. It's a nafkamina is, if a person is walking in Rishut Rabim, he's carrying a knife, more than Dalet Amot in Rishut Rabim, so he will be chayav, culpable on Shabbat for Hotza'av Dalet Amot. But on the way, the knife goes through some object. It goes through this clothing, this silk item there, and it causes damage. According to the Lashon says that you can't have anacha without an akira. Hachinami, yevshal anacha below akira. So too in this case, the fact that the akira and in the motion of the hotza'ah, you end up damaging the shiraim along the way, that makes them part of the same action as if they are simultaneous. And therefore we will apply kamle derabi minei and be patur. Hach nishna damart lo matzi mahadalo. According to the second lashon that says the case by the arrow is different because it's an irreversible action, over here, by definition, the knife does not have to go through the shiraim. Even though you're walking with it, you can simply stop walking or you can move away. There is a way to stop the motion here. This is a way to stop the motion. It's not from the same point of time that they happen together or simultaneously. The key difference between these two opinions is what do we consider to be simultaneous? According to the first lashon, the definition of simultaneous is as long as you are in the process of doing the melacha, and that's when the damage happens, then we can say that you are chayav for the melachat Shabbat at the same moment that you did the damage, and therefore you are potur from the tashlumim, because of kam leidir abimine. According to the second lashon, it's from the start. The moment that the melacha starts, that has to be the moment that you do the damage. So in the case of firing the arrow or shooting the arrow, over there, at the moment you do the akira, the damage is done, because it's an irreversible action and it will do the damage. On the other hand, here in the case of the sakin, even though during the process of hotza'ah you do the damage, nevertheless, from the time that you started the akira, the melacha already started prior to having anything to do with the shiraim, with the destroying of this object, and therefore they're not going to be considered to be simultaneous or of the same action, because you could stop. You could walk around it. It's not inevitable that your akira, you're picking up of the sakin and moving it, will damage this object. There are other ways for it to transpire without you damaging the object, and therefore it would not be subject to kamle derabim mine. So now the Gemara says, Gufa, let us investigate Rabbi Avin's position more deeply. Amar Rabbi Avin azarek chetz mitichlat arba l'sofar ba pikarashi rayin b'halichato patur. Shakira tzorech anachahi. Because the akira is integral to the hanacha or the melacha over here. Meiti Rabbi Barabaye, so Rabbi Barabaye challenges and says, we have a braita that says, Agonev kis b'shabbat chayav. A person who steals a wallet or a money pouch on Shabbat is chayav. Shgavar nitchayev b'gneva kodem shavo lidei yisur skila. Because he becomes culpable for the theft before he ever violates the isur of Shabbat. Hayam migarer v'yotze, if he's dragging it out, migarer v'yotze, dragging it out from Rishuta Yachid to Rishut Rabim, patur. In that case, he will be exempted from the compensation. Sherei Isur Shabbat v'gneva ba'im ke'achad. Because in that instance, the Isur of Shabbat and Gneva happen simultaneously. So what the Braita suggests here is that in the case where a person steals this money pouch, if they make a kinyan on the money pouch originally, then the gneva is already taking place. From that point forward, the gneva is done, and now they're going to carry it from the owner's property into the reshut rabim, which will make them chayav for hotza'ah on Shabbat. But when they're going to be chayav for hotza'ah on Shabbat, the gneva has already been completed. On the other hand, if they drag it along, then there's no kinyan as far as gneva is concerned, because the only way to make a kinyan is either a kinyan hagbah. Kinyan hagbah is where you actually lift it up. So in the first case of the Braita, he lifted it up and he did a kinyan hagbah, so the gneva was done already. On the other hand, if he's migarer, if he's dragging it along, that's what's called a kinyan mishicha. That's a kinyan by pulling something. A kinyan mishicha only works if you take the object from the possession of the owner, from the owner's property, and you moshech it and you pull it into your property. So here, when you pull it through the property and then out, at the moment that you pull it out into the reshut harabim, that's when the kinyan for gneva happens, and that's when the Isser of Shabbat takes place, or the violation of Shabbat takes place, and that's simultaneous. In that case, there will be kamlei rabbi mineh, and you will be exempted from the compensation for the gneva. Gemara says, v'amai, why should that be true according to Rabbi Avin's principle? Hachanami le'me'agbah tzorech hotza'ahi, that when you lifted it up to steal it, and then you take it out from reshut yachid into reshut rabim, that hagbah, that lifting it up, is the akira, is the beginning of the hotza'ah process. And if that's the case, you should be exempted from the compensation because the hotza'ah and the gneva take place at the same time. Now, according to most of the Rishonim, this question is only on the position that says that ef shar l'hanacha b'lo akira. But according to the Lashon that says that it has to be an irreversible action, clearly here it is a reversible action, and therefore this question is not according to that Lashon, because this would be differentiated from the case of Rabbi Avin. But according to Lashon that says akira tekilat hanacha, the question is on that position. Even though, as you see in the Arugot, Mir Unschenberg, he suggests that you could even ask this question on the position that thinks that it's irreversible. Tosafot is clear here that the question is only on the position that says that akira is tzorech hanacha. In addition to that, this question actually presents a problem for the Rabbeinu Tam Shita, because it's really not true. In the case of Hagbah, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, if you lifted up a tefach, you've already done Hagbah. For the din in Shabbat of Akira, you do need to lift it up 3 tefachim. So that's not true here, that when you lift it up to do the Hagbah, that's not necessarily the Tchilat Akira, because when you lift it up, you do the Gneva when you hit 1 tefach. You're only beginning the Akira for Shabbat when you hit 3 tefachim, and therefore you couldn't say that they are starting simultaneously or they're beginning at the same moment. So therefore Tosafot comes up with cases where the Hagba'ah and the Gneva will take place at the same moment. For instance, the object is above, sitting above 3 tefachim already, and then you just slide it off with your hand. So at the same moment you do the Hagba'ah for the Kinyan, you also do it for Hotza'ah and Shabbat. And the Braita here never defines what the case is, and it sounds like in any case. And it's not just not true, because there are cases where you'll do the Hagba'ah for the Gneva at the same moment you're doing the Akira for Shabbat. And that's what the Gemara asks over here. V'amai, ha'chanami le'im Hagba'ah tzorech hotza'ahi. Gemara says, ha'chanami skinan g'un shik b'yo menat l'hatzni'o. When he picked it up in order to hide it. He wasn't intending to carry it out into the reshut harabim. He simply lifted it up, and then he was going to put it down somewhere. V'nimach alav. And then he changed his mind, v'hotzi'o, and took it out. So the Havamina of the Gemara right now is that when he picked it up, he stole it because he did a Kinyan Hagbah. As far as Hotza'ah for Shabbat, he wasn't intending at that moment to do Hotza'ah. Then he starts walking. He says, you know what? I'm not going to leave it over here. I'm going to take it out into the Reshut HaRabim. So Gemara says, V'chi ay gav na mi mechayiv. If that's what he did over here, since when are you chayav for such an action? V'amar Rav Simon, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. The person who is moving furniture or objects within his house from one corner to the other, and then he changed his mind. He picked it up to move it from corner A to corner B. And then while he's on his way, he says, you know what, I'm just going to take this out into the Reshut HaRabim. And he does what's out there, patur. He does not chayav. It's patur of asur. It's asur midrabanan. Because lo hayta akira mishat mishon alakach. Because when he originally lifted up, he did not intend to carry it out or do the malach of hotza'ah. Therefore, the Akira started under circumstances that were mutarim, and then the Hanacha takes place in a sore place in Reshut HaRabim. But that Akira and Hanacha cannot be connected to be a violation of Hotza'ah on Shabbat. So over here too, if he picks it up, it does Akbah, and he steals it, and he intended to hide it here in the Reshut HaYachid, and not take it out into the Reshut HaRabim, then he changes his mind, that he will not be chayav for Shabbat. So that won't tempt him from having to pay compensation because he won't even be chayav from Lachat Shabbat. The Gemara says, okay, lo te mamanat latzio, elo im mamanat tahotzio. Now he picked it up with the intent to leave with it, to actually carry it onto the shutabim, not to hide it. So now we're back to square one, which means now we have a problem. Because then why shouldn't there be kamlei derabbi minei now? Because when he picked it up to do the kigin akbah, he also intended to carry it out into the shutarabim. So halkamai eskinon, kisha amad. He stopped before he exited into the reshutarabim. So Gemara says, amad amai. What did he stop for? Ilakateif, if he stopped to adjust the load or to fix things so that he could carry it better, orchehu, that's the normal way to carry, and therefore that's not considered to be a stop. That's considered to be a part of the motion of leaving this area and going out into the shutarabim. Ela ba'omid lafush, if he stopped to rest, and then that really is a stopping of the beginning Akira and does not connect to the latter Hanacha, then what would be the din? The din is then you have separate actions. You had an Akira originally when you picked it up to do the Kinyan Akbah, but then you stopped before you left the Rishut HaYachid. When you stopped, that becomes a Hanacha. So you did Akbah, you were done with the Kinyan Gneva, you did a Melacha of Hotza'ah, but that Hotza'ah was not Hotza'ah, that was Asur, because Asura, because you did the Akira in Rishut HaYachid and you stopped to rest in Rishut HaYachid, you did a Hanacha in Rishut HaYachid. Then when you start walking again, that's a new Akira from the Rishut HaYachid, and then you bring it into the Rishut HaRabim, that's a new Hanacha. So that's Eken Akira is what makes you Chayav from the Melechet on Shabbat, and the first Akira is not connected to it. So the first Akira and Hagba'ah are what make you Chayav in the Gneva. The second Akira is what makes you Chayav for Shabbat, and now you've disconnected the two actions. And that's why they are not simultaneous. But the Gemara says, if that's true about the kateif, my, what would be the din with regards to switching the load or fixing the load on your back? Then you would be patur. Then in that case, you would be patur because that would be the akira that started when you did akba'ah for the geneva. That akira now ends up with anacha with a placement in Rishut Rabim, and that means that the kinyan for the geneva and the akira for Shabbat started at the same time. But if that's the case, Adatani Hayami Garer Vyotsei, in the second half of the Braita, which says the case that you are patur from compensation is a case where you drag it out, Migarer Vyotsei, patur, niflog v'nitna b'dida. You could have made a finer distinction within the Braita. But me, d'vayim amurim, what's the case here where it works is ba'omed lafush. That's when you stop to rest. If you picked it up and made a kinyan for Gneva, and then you stopped before you went out to the Shut HaRabim to rest, in that case, you're still chayav for the compensation because the melacha of Shabbat is disparate from the kinyan of Gneva. Of all the kateif, if you just stop to rest on your way out, patur, then you would be patur from compensation because there would be commonly Rabbi Mine, because the original akira that made the kinyan of Gneva was also the beginning of the melacha of Shabbat. So then, why does the Braita make that finer distinction in it? Elahamani, who is this? Ben Azaihi. This is authored by Ben Azai, Damar, Mehaleich Kilmeid Dami. That a person who walks is as if he is standing. Now, Ben Azai's position, we've seen in the Gemara and Shabbat, there is a machlok with regards to Zorek. When someone throws an object, how do you view the throwing of an object? Do you view the throwing of an object as a continuous motion? That means that there's an akira over here, and then wherever it lands, that's anacha, and there's one continuous motion in between. Or do you see throwing as a series of discrete motions, which means that it akira, hanacha, akira, hanacha, akira, hanacha, all the way along, that each part of the process is like a little dot along a line, and therefore it's considered to be discrete motions. The difference or the nafkamina between those two shitot is if a person throws from a Rishut HaYachid to another Rishut HaYachid on the other side of Rishut HaRabim. If you view the action as simply one continuous motion, you did an akira in Rishut HaYachid, and you did anachan Rishut HaYachid, that's fine on Shabbat. You're not going to be chayav, even though it crossed over the Rishut HaRabim in the interim. On the other hand, if you believe that Zorek, throwing something is discrete, a discrete motion, each little piece has discrete little motions in it, that means that every moment you have an akiran anacha, that means when it passes through the Rishut HaRabim, it started in the Rishut HaYachid, stopped in the Rishut HaRabim. Stopped in the Rishut HaRabim, started again into the Rishut HaYachid, then you will be chayav hotza on Shabbat. Ben Azai has a similar concept by Mehaleich, that Mehaleich is not considered to be a continuous motion of Akira and Hanacha, but each step that a person takes, the leg you pick up is an Akira, and then you put it down, it's a Hanacha. And therefore, each step you take is a new Akira, Hanacha, Akira, Hanacha. Therefore, when you picked up the object to begin, that was the Akira and the Hagba'ah for Gneva. But then you already had Hanacha when you took your next step. And then when you took the next step, you have another Akira Hanacha. Till you get to the point where you're right at the edge of Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim, that's the time that you're going to be Chayav Otzah B'Shabbat. Therefore, the case here, when you're walking, the first case, if you're walking with it out, that's why you're Chayav to pay or compensate, because the Akira or the Hagba'ah for Gneva took place when you lifted the object up. But the Otzah only takes place when you cross over that line between Rishut Yachid and Rishut Rabim. Therefore, there's no Kamle de Rabimine. But what is the answer to the problem? If you drag it out. Because when you drag it out, then the Akira and Hanacha take place at the same moment that you do the Gneva. When you switch from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim, that same moment, that simultaneous moment is when both things happen, the Gneva and the Otzah on Shabbat. And that's why the Braita explains it that way. But Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe you can have another case where you could have defined it a little more narrowly, which is, Benazai damar melechu me dami, aval zorek, mai. If he threw it, what would be the din? Patur. Over there, he would be patur if he did zrika, because then we would consider it, this is according to the opinion that zrika or zorek is a continuous motion, then the akira happens at the same moment that you do the agba'ah for the kinyan gneva. So that, if that's the case, niflog v'nitnei b'dida. Again, you can have made a finer distinction in the braita and say, b'med dvarim amurim, when is that true? B'mehaleich. That's a case when you're walking. According to Ben Azai, when you're walking, then the violation of Shabbat is discrete or disparate from the Hagba'ah for Gneva. Avozorek, if you threw the object, then it would be a problem, you would be Patur, because then the Akira for the throwing and the Akira for the Gneva happen simultaneous, and you would be Patur because it would be Kamai de Rabbi Minei. So Gemara says, you're right, you could have given that answer, but Migarer v'yotze itzrichale. But we need the case of Migarer v'yotze. Now, according to most, the way that we have the gears in our Gemara, the Gemara just said, within the position of Ben Azai, even though it could have said Zorek is Patur, it used the case of Migarer v'yotze to teach us the following Chiddush, which we're about to speak about. On the other hand, there are some people that have a Gerson, the Gemara of Ella, Migarer v'yotze yitzrichale. Ella would mean that we rejected everything we said until now, and then the answer Migarer v'yotze would be an answer both according to Ben Azai and the Chachamim. We're not dropping this answer Ben Azai, going back to Divrei HaKol, and here is a different answer that would help answer up the Tosafot over here, Migarer v'yotze, ask the question of why the Gemara at this point has a different view than it did just at the end of the previous Samud. So the answer to that question would be, if here the Gemara rejects it and goes back to the position of the Chachamim. But according to the Gears that we have, this is still within the position of Ben Azai, and the Gemara is saying, yes, according to Ben Azai, when you walk, then there is no Kamalei d'Rabbi Minei. When you throw it, there is Kamalei d'Rabbi Minei. Why didn't it use throwing as the other side of the picture, or the second case in the Braita? Because Migarer v'yotze yitzrichale, the dragging and being taken out of the property, we needed that. Saga dakt chamina, I would have thought, ein derech hotza bekach. That's not the normal way to carry the object. And therefore, you would not be chayab. Kamash malan, that it is. Gemara says, let's clarify that. Ubimai, what is the case here? Iberav rave, if it's a very large money pouch or something heavy, or chayu, then it's definitely the normal way to take it out. That way, it's too heavy to carry, so one would drag it. Ibizutre, if it was something very small and easily manageable, you could put it in your pocket and you could carry it easily, then lav orchehu, you're right. That would not be the normal way of hotza'ah, and then you should not be chayav for hotza'ah on Shabbat. Ela b'mitzei. It's a case where it's like a middleweight object, and therefore, it is sometimes people do drag it out because it's a little heavy, even though you could carry it. So therefore, the chiddush is that when you do drag it, that is considered to be a melacha on Shabbat. Tosafot over here and other Rishonim try to reconcile this with the Gemara in Bava Batra, which says that objects that you can do a kinyan through Agba'ah, you can't do a kinyan through Mishicha. An object that you can do a kinyan with Mishicha, you can't do Agba'ah. Over here, the Gemara seems to have a situation in which both types of kinyanim would work. Kinyan Mishicha and a kinyan Agba'ah would work here because of its mitzvah object, which is a category that doesn't seem to exist in Bava Batra. And therefore, the Rishonim try to reconcile our Gemara with that Gemara in Bava Batra. Now, the Gemara says, Udaafke the Heicha. Where is he taking it out to? The assumption here is that he's taking it out from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim, because that's how he's Chayav for Hotza'ah on Shabbat. But, if that's the case, then we have a problem here. When he's dragging it out, does he really make a Kinyan on it? Because we said before that a Kinyan Mishicha works when the individual takes it from the property of the owner to his property. But not when he takes it into Rishut Rabim. And that's what the Gemara asks now. Ida afke Rishut Rabim, Isur Shabbat Ika, Isur Gneva Leka. If he drags it from the owner's property to the Rishut Rabim, then he violates Hotza'ah on Shabbat, but there is no Gneva, because Meshicha doesn't work when you take it from the owner's property into the Rishut Rabim. Idafke the Rishut Yachid, if he takes it into his property, then Isur Gneva, he accomplishes Gneva, because he took it, he dragged it from the owner's property to his property, but Isur Shabbat Leka, with regards to Shabbat, he hasn't violated Hotza'ah, going from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Yachid is not a violation midoraita of Hotza'ah on Shabbat. Where it says, lo, the afke the tzidei the Rishut HaRabim. He took it out to the sides of the Rishut HaRabim. Ukeman. Who's this like? Iki Rabbi Eliezer. If it's like Rabbi Eliezer that says tzidei Rishut HaRabim ki Rishut HaRabim damo, that the sides of Rishut HaRabim are like an actual Rishut HaRabim, then again, Isur Shabbat Ika, because you have Hotza'ah, Isur Geneva, Leka. Iki Rabbonin, if you hold like the Rabbonin, damar tzidei Rishut HaRabim, lav ki Rishut HaRabim dami, that they think that the sides of Rishut HaRabim don't have a din of Rishut HaRabim, but rather a Carmelite. Isur Gneva Ika, Isur Shabbat Leka. Then Gneva works because he took it into an area that he has rights to, or rights to use, and therefore the Meshicha there will be a Kinyan for. But Shabbat, Isur Shabbat Leka. On the other hand, with regards to the violation of Shabbat, you just took him from Rishut HaYachid to Carmelite, there's no violation though, right, of Hotza'ah on Shabbat. So Mar says, no, olam ki Rabbi Eliezer. It's like Rabbi Eliezer who believes that tzidei Rishut HaRabim ki Rishut HaRabim. This is a real Rishut HaRabim. And when you take it out from the Rishut HaYachid to that tzidei Rishut HaRabim, you will be chayav for Hotza'ah on Shabbat. B'chi Amar Rabbi Eliezer tzidei Rishut HaRabim ki Rishut HaRabim damo hanimilian inyan chivo de Shabbat. When Rabbi Eliezer says that the sides of the Rishut HaRabim have a din like Rishut HaRabim, that's with regards to the fact that you are obligated or culpable for doing Hotza'ah on Shabbat. The zimnin, the dachachei rabim, v'ayli lahatum. Because sometimes the Rishut HaRabim becomes so full that people push into that area, use that area to traverse the Rishut HaRabim. Therefore, it is deemed to be Rishut HaRabim for Shabbat. Avalinyan mikna koni. But in the very terms of making kinyanim, it's considered to be like a quasi-private domain. And therefore, you cannot make a kinyan through a kinyan mishichon and then it's tzidei Rishut HaRabim. My time, why? Talo shirichei rabim. Because it's not a place where large number of people traverse. And therefore, you can deem to be like a private space or a private ownership space, and that's enough to allow you to do a kinyan mishicha. So basically, the answer of the Gemara is that the definition of Rishut HaRabim for Shabbat is different than the definition for kinyanim or kinyan mishicha. By the definition of Shabbat, what matters is whether the area is traversed by large numbers of people. And that is true by the Tzidei Rishut HaRabim. We talked about a little earlier in the Gemara here, Tzidei Rishut HaRabim, where the areas where they used to put up those poles or barriers to stop people banging into the walls of their chatzerot or their houses. So there was the central part of the Rishut HaRabim, and then there were sides of the Rishut HaRabim where they used to put up these poles to prevent people and wagons and animals from banging into the walls. But it wasn't that it was a restricted area. You could walk in that area. It just was more difficult to walk or to get into that area. So if you had space in the middle, you'd walk there. But if there was no space in the middle, it got crowded, you'd walk on those sides. So as far as Shabbat is concerned, there are a lot of people that can traverse that area. It's called the Rishut HaRabim. As far as Kinyanim are concerned, when you can make a Kinyan Mishicha is where you can exert some sort of private ownership or spacing in there. In the middle of the Rishut HaRabim, that's a public area, public domain. You can't create your own space there to do a Kinyan Mishicha because people walk back and forth and walk through that space. In city of Rishut HaRabim, people pile their stuff up there sometimes. They make stops over there. People use it as a quasi-private domain. And therefore, your kinyan mishicha will be effective because, again, the definition for kinyanim is different than the definition of Shabbat. And therefore, in the tzidei Rishut HaRabim, when you're dragging it out there, you can have a violation of Hotza'ah for Shabbat from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim. But as far as kinyan mishicha, that will be considered like the ganav's property or area or space where he can make a kinyan, and it will be considered like his private domain there in order to make a kinyan. And therefore, simultaneously, he will violate the Isur of Shabbat and Gnevan. That's why there will be Kamle Derabimine in that case. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi offers her an alternative, Gon Shetziref Yado, Melata Mishlosha Vikiblo. That is a case where he put his hand below three Tvachim, and he received it. Kidarova, and based on this position of Rava, Damarova, Yado Shaladam, Chashuvalo Karba Al Arba, that a person's hand is considered like a space or a significant space of 4x4 Tvachim. As Rashi explains over here, the girsa that we have in the Gemara follows Rashi, and it's somewhat controversial, we'll see in a second. But as Rashi says here, that Rava is bolstering that position of Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, first of all, his hand is below three tefachim, and since his hand is below three tefachim, the acceptance of the object into his hand is what creates both the Hotza'ah for Shabbat, but also creates a Kinyan, because his hand is a quote-unquote private domain outside. So when he moves the object from the Rishut Yachid into his hand in the Rishut Rabim, he does two things. He does Hotza'ah, and he also does at the same time the Kinyan on the object for Gneva. Now Rashi says that's because Yado Shel Adam Chashuva, because a person's hand is significant, Ke'arba'al Arba'ah, it's like 4x4 Tefachim, and it comes like a real space. And therefore Rashi says, V'chi Eichid Inyan Shabbat Chashuv Makom, just like by Shabbat, the hand is considered to be a Makom Chashuv, a 4x4 Tefachim, Le'inu Mikna Nami, for Kinyanim too, Chashuv Makom, the Mikne, it's considered to be like a place that can make a Kinyan, Ke'ilu Yigbi'al L'mala Mishlosha, as if he lifted it above 3 Tefachim and Dinyan Kinyan Akba, because his hand becomes like this significant location. And therefore, Rashi says that, why did they say that his hand was below 3 Tefachim? Because otherwise, if it was above 3 Tefachim, he already would have made a Kinyan on it in the Rishut HaYachid. So as long as he keeps his hand and the object below 3 Tefachim, and then he moves out to the Rishut HaRabim and stops there, at that moment, he's Chayav Rotsan Shabbat, because he does Hanacha, and Hanacha is significant because it's in his hand, and it's below 3 Tefachim. But it's also significant because his hand is 4x4 Tefachim. And since his hand is 4x4 Tefachim, that it becomes a significant location both for Hotza'ah and Shabbat, as well as a Kinyan with regards to Geneva. Tosafot, to many of the Rishonim, take issue with Rashi because once your hand is below 3 Tefachim, you don't need it to be 4x4 Tefachim in order to be Anacha for Shabbat, because you have a din of Lovud. Anything that's below 3 Tefachim is considered as if it's on the ground. So when you have your hand there, it's as if you place the object down on the ground in Rishut Rabim, and that'd be a hanacha to be chayav for Shabbat. And the same is true in the opposite way. If your hand is above 3 Tefachim, then that will be considered hanacha for Shabbat, meaning that the significance of your hand being 4x4 Tefachim is true whether you're above 3 Tefachim or below 3 Tefachim. So the two dinim should work independently, which just means that Rav Ashi's reason by itself should be sufficient, which is where he keeps it below 3 Tefachim all the way along. Because when he keeps it below 3 Tefachim all the way along, he moves it from the Rishut Yachid to the Rishut HaRabim. And then once he moves it out to the Rishut HaRabim, the Hanacha and the Rishut HaRabim already is considered to be a Hanacha because he's below 3 Tefachim. On the other hand, Rovo, who says that the hand is considered a Makom Chashuv, is a significant place. Therefore, the 4x4 Tefachim is significant whether it's above or below 3 Tefachim. And therefore, landing the object in your hand in Rishut HaRabim should be good enough for a Kinyan, as well as Hotza'ah for Shabbat. So why do we need both positions to be joined together? And therefore, Tosafot actually brings a position from the Rivam, who's the brother of the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam, who said, B'sifri Ashkenaz the Garas, Inami Kidarova. That it's a Inami is a second answer. Rova and Ravashi are giving two different answers over here. Vekula Milta Shabbat Kayin, it's all going to do with Shabbat. K'shitzir v'yadola mata migimel, and when he puts his hand under 3 Tefachim, even though your hand is not considered to be a makom chashuv, since it's below 3 Tefachim, that's considered to be anacha, and it's as if it's resting on the ground. Or, even if your hand's above 3 Tefachim, because Rava says your hand is like 4x4 Tefachim, that's also considered to be anacha for Shabbat. The Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, has a different girsa, an alternate girsa, which says, Uche de Rava, and that's the end of his statement. Meaning that if we say, K'shiv yadol amata bishlosha b'kiblu, ki de Rava, and then the remainder is not there. The Rava that we're speaking about is not the Rava that's quoted here in the Gemara about Yadol Shel Adam Chashuva Lo Karbal Arba, but rather a different Rava that says that Eged Yad Lo Shmei Eged, which is that your hand is considered to be distinct from your body. Now, the Rabbeinu Tam says it's only true if it's below 3 Tefachim, is your hand considered to be a separate location from your body. But if your hand's above 3 Tefachim, then it's considered to be in the same location as your body. And therefore, the question here is about whether the hand can be considered a distinct location. And it's a distinct location when it's below 3 Tefachim, and that's what Uched Rava means over here. Now, while the Ramban agrees and says that the position of the Rivam makes the most sense over here, that Rav Ashi and Rava are giving actually two different answers, nevertheless, he says we don't find Girsaot like that. Even though it's clear from the Tosfot that they did have a Girsa like that, he says the Ramban, we don't find a Girsa like that, and therefore the Ramban answers in a slightly different manner, similar to what he answered earlier in the Gemara, and answering up the question of how when somebody drags something, there's an Akira, if you never get it above 3 Tefachim. So the Ramban over there suggests that the Stam houses in their day were a 3 Tefachim above the Rishut HaRabim. And therefore, by definition, if you rolled something out of the house, and then received it in the Rishut HaRabim, it would be moving, it would be above 3 Tefachim, and then come in below 3 Tefachim when it fell into the Rishut HaRabim. And he suggests the same thing over here. What's taking place is that when you roll it out of the Rishut HaYachid from the house, out to the Rishut HaRabim, and therefore the object fell or goes down from more than three, above three tefachim from the Rishut HaYachid down into the Rishut HaRabim, and that drop of the three tefachim from the Rishut HaYachid to the Rishut HaRabim creates both the Hotza'ah, the Akira and the Hanacha, but also creates the Kinyan from the Rishut of the Balim to the Rishut of the Ganav. And that's how the Ramban reconciles this idea that the hand is the receiving object, and the three tefachim space has to do with the differential between the Rishut HaYachid and the Rishut HaRabim. Rav Acha Motni Hochi. That's the way that Rav Acha explained this case over here in the Braita. Ravina Matni Dolam B'Davke the Rishut HaRabim. Over Rishut HaRabim Nami Kana. That Ravina says, no, the case here is clearly where he took it out into Rishut HaRabim, not Side Rishut HaRabim. And in Rishut HaRabim, he also made a Kinyan. And they're arguing about how to understand this Mishnah, the Tanan. We have a Mishnah. He has dragging out an animal to steal it. Umeit b'rishut ha'balim. And the animal on the way out dies while it's still in the property of the owners. Patur. The ganav is patur because he never made a kinyan on it. Higbio. Oshihotzio m'rishut ha'balim. If he picks it up and does a kinyan agba, or he takes it out of the property of the Balim, and then umeit, and then it dies, chayav, then he's responsible for it. Ravina diek miresha. Ravina learns or misdayek from the first half of that Mishnah, and Rav Acha diek misefa. Ravina diek miresha, hayam moshcho v'yotzei, he's dragging it out, umeit, b'shuter Balim, and it dies inside the property of the Balim, patur. Time it to mate b'shuter Balim, that's only because it died inside the property of the Balim. Ha'otzio, had he successfully dragged it out of the Rishut HaBalim into the Rishut HaRabim, if then the case, Otzio Mishut HaBalim, who made Chayav. So you see that there is a Kinyan that is possible through a Kinyan Meshicha, even when you take it out into the Rishut HaRabim. On the other hand, Rav Acha Diek Misefa, Rav Acha learns it out from the Seifa, Higbio Shotzio. So if he lifted it up, or he took it out of the Rishut HaBalim, Hotza'ah Dumya Dehagba. The Hotza'ah has to be similar to the Hagba. Magba'ah Da'ati Rishute. Just like the elevating of the object brings it into your possession, af hotza nami da'ati l'rishutei, so too the taking it out or doing the hotza that brings it into your possession. So what is that? That's a case where you bring it into your property, not into the Rishut HaRabim. So the question is, can you do a kinyan mishicha through dragging something into the Rishut HaRabim? According to Ravina, the answer is yes, because he's medayek from the Reisha. According to Rav Acha, the answer is no, because he's medayek from the Seif, and that's why he sets up the Braita in Gonev Kis. That is the case where he dragged it into the Tzidei Rishut HaRabim. On the other hand, Ravina says you can do a Kinyan Mishicha straight into the Rishut HaRabim, and he sets up that case as being Migarer straight into the Rishut HaRabim. The Gemara says, the Rav Acha Kasha Reisha, Rav Acha, the Reisha is problematic for him, or the Ravina Kasha Seifa. Reisha, the Rav Acha Lo Kasha, Kama Dolo Ati Rishutei, Rishut Balim Greenenbei. Until he brings it into his own property, that's considered to be Rishut Balim. So even if he's out on the Rishut HaRabim, as long as it hasn't reached the Rishut of the Ganav, that's still called Rishut Balim, because he won't be responsible for it. Seifa, the Ravina Lokasha, Otsa, Dumya Dagba, Lo Amrinan. He says, who says the Otsa has to be exactly like the Hagba? The Hagba brings it into your Rishut here. Otsa just has not into your personal Rishut, it just has to bring it into your ownership. And going out to the Rishut HaRabim is sufficient to bring it into your ownership. Now, Tosafot, and many of the Rishonim ask over here, that Abai and Rava, Damrei Tarvayu, they both say in the Gemara in Bava Vatra, the Meshicha Lokanya B'Rishut HaRabim. They're explicit that there is no such thing as a Kinyan of Meshicha and Rishut HaRabim. And over here, Ravina seems to indicate that there is a Kinyan Meshicha and Rishut HaRabim. So many believe that they argue. That's right. And Ochanami, Ravina argues on that position of Abai and Rava. Tosafot was unwilling to accept that, and he says, Omri, Delo Polig Ad Ravina. They bifurcate the din. They say here, when Ravina says that there is a Kinyan Meshicha and Rishut HaRabim, that's to make you culpable for anything that happens to the animal. But that's not a Kinyan that would make it fully yours. I mean, to make a full-fledged Kinyan where it becomes into your possession, Rishut HaRabim would not suffice. But Rishut HaRabim will suffice in order to make you obligated or culpable for anything that happens to the object. By doing that, they split the din and say that Ravina can be reconciled with the Abaye Rova in Bava Batra, that Kinyan Meshicha works for some things in Rishut HaRabim, doesn't work for other things. The things that it doesn't work for, that's what Abaye and Rova were speaking about in the Gemara in Bava Batra, and that things that it does work for, like being Chayav Onsin, that's what Ravina is speaking about over here, and they can agree with each other. Okay, we're going to stop here on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Bet by the two dots.